So, Martin, in a continuing feature of the podcast where Laura buys Eurovision merchandise, I've got a book here called Nul Poir.
Oh, someone's stolen our idea.
Yeah. Well, I think we stole their idea, but never mind.
Okay, fair enough.
Which is basically a sort of travelogue with the author, Tim Moore, interviewing people who got Nul Poir in the competition. So very excited for that. And it brings me to a quiz question, which I will give the answer at the end of the programme. So don't tell me straight away, because I'm sure you'll know the answer.
Okay, yeah, sure I will.
So here we go. Mm-hmm. Here is the quiz question for the episode. Four countries have received the dreaded Nul Poir on three occasions. Austria, Finland, Switzerland, and who?
Oh.
I'll tell you at the end of the episode, but at the moment, welcome to Nul Poir!
Nul Poir is shameful.
Nul Poir is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nul Poir is no fun.
All right, I need to get the old thinking cap on, I think.
You do.
I shall get back to you on that one. Before we start, Chris, can I tell you about an epiphany I've had?
Sure, yeah. Is it Eurovision related? Or?
Well, it isn't, but I think it could be.
Right. Okay.
Have you heard about the phenomenon that is sea shanties?
Well, you're talking about sea shanty TikTok, aren't you? Not just the phenomenon of sea shanties, because I'm just going to tell you, Martin, sea shanties have been around for a long, long time.
Yeah,
they're not
sure.
A new thing.
But they're everywhere now, right? They're absolutely everywhere. Everyone's going on about sea shanties on TikTok. Everyone's doing the sea shanties. And this is a prediction here. I think that we might well be seeing a few Eurovision acts for 2021 go in on the sea shanties so that they can take advantage on TikTok, get people knowing about it. I think this is a really good idea. And I also think that I should be having a go at it. In fact, I already have. I've already come up with a bit of an idea.
You've done a sea shanty.
I've done my version of
the
sea shanty. You know, Wellerman it's called, right? Everyone's doing it on TikTok.
It's called what?
Wellerman.
Wellerman,
People who hunt whales. So nice and
positive. Oh, right.
Yep.
Wellerman.
I could be the next big thing if this goes viral.
Yes.
And I think I could launch it here on the podcast and maybe get to Eurovision with it.
Right. Gosh.
So I've got the keyboard, as you know. Got that,
yes.
Right? So are you ready to hear what I've come up with?
Right, yes. So I'm going to listen to this now, am I?
Yeah, here we go. Here is my version of Wellerman.
There once was a ship that put to sea, and the name of the ship was Billy of Tea. The winds blew harder, bowed it down. Blow, my bully boys, blow. Soon may the Wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day with a tongue in his dome, we'll take our leave and go. She had not been 2 weeks from shore when down on her a right whale bore. The captain called all hands and swore he'd take that whale in tow. Soon may the Wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tongue in his dome, we'll take our leave and go. Soon may the Wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tongue in his dome, we'll take our leave and go. Soon may the Wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tongue in his dome, we'll take our leave and go.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful, Martin. That was lovely. Gosh, what a lot of effort you've put into that.
That is the sort of quality you'd be getting from me on the Eurovision stage. And I'm telling you now, just think back a few years. I swear it was one of the Eastern European countries. I want to say Latvia. Could have been Latvia. Could have been Lithuania. Pretty sure it began with an L. They did a song about pirates on the sea, which was to do with "We are the wolves of the sea." I'm saying they were just a few, maybe a decade behind the curve.
They were just a decade out.
Yeah. They'd have come up with that this time. They'd have been straight into the final.
Maybe you're right. Wasn't it? I think it was Latvia, Pirates of the Sea.
That's it.
Wolves of the Sea, Latvia, yeah.
Wolves of the Sea. We are the wolves of the sea. That's it. So I'm the wolf of the sea shanties.
Right.
And I could win this year.
Right. Okay. In your little head, yes, you could.
Anyway, welcome to Nul Poir. My name's Martin, that's Laura Kress, and we're here to talk about the Eurovision Song Contest. We don't know everything about it, it's true to say, but we do enjoy it.
But we love it.
And we like to just have a little chat about it and maybe learn a bit more and learn why so many fans are so passionate about it. And I suppose we should start with what could end up being a bit of a less than positive conversation, let's be honest. But I think we need to have it because here we are recording on the 23rd of January. And the old virus is really not in a great place. And we're getting slowly but surely closer and closer to May. And we're starting to think, where's your head at the moment?
Where's your head at? Remember that? going retro. My head at is... God, I can't speak today. My head at... that I just think... I think they're going to say option D for Eurovision. I don't think there's going to be an audience or people travelling there. And my thought is, if we can't go there for Eurovision, I'm thinking, do we still want to go there in general? To Rotterdam, that is. Because sometimes we have... I mean, we basically kind of did that for Tel Aviv when we went for the Eurovision because we didn't have tickets for... because they were so expensive. Because we didn't have tickets for any of the shows, any of the semi-finals. Normally, we get a ticket for the semi-final because it's a bit easier to get seats. But we didn't have anything, but we still went and we still, well, you guys saw the Eurovision Village. I was throwing up in a bucket. But
you were throwing up in a bucket.
Yes, anyway, we'll move past that. but this time, because of just this whole added risk of, like, if you're going to travel, you should travel for a reason, I suppose, rather than just going on holiday. I don't know what you think. Maybe you disagree with me. Would you have gone to Rotterdam if we couldn't have gone to see anything Eurovision-y?
Yes, I would go in normal circumstances, right? So if
we were allowed to go, not like illegally, not like shh.
Yeah, we're not going to sneak in to.
No, if it was allowed, yeah.
Yeah, I think I would go because even if I don't know, I just think, well, I've booked the time off work, and I've booked the tickets to. I've booked the ferry. It's all about the ferries.
Oh, it's all about this bloody ferry. Yeah, but do you not think, like, I'm just thinking, well, if there's not a big reason to go, if we'd just be going to Rotterdam. And probably there wouldn't even be a Eurovision Village or anything like that. I mean, like, Rotterdam is lovely, I'm sure. But, I mean, I have been to Amsterdam. I've been to the Netherlands. So, for me, I'm a bit like...
So, you've done it. Well,
I've done it. Done. Yeah, it's been done.
Might as well stay at home.
As much as I'd love to have a holiday, I'm a bit like, do I really want to have that added risk?
Yeah, I know what
you... Just for going to Rotterdam.
I know what you mean. I do know what you mean. And also, the thing is, we don't know what the rules are going to be in May, whether we're going to have to quarantine on a return, quarantine when we there as well, which would completely rule it out. You know, if we had to quarantine when we got over there, then that would be it. You know, we couldn't go. If we had to quarantine when we came back, that would be a massive decision because it would have implications on our work and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Thing is, I have another reason to be in Europe because I'm going to a wedding the week before. So,
well that supposedly. Makes more sense. Yeah. Well, yeah.
So, I don't know. And I really didn't think I'd have to be making this decision. Do you know what I mean? We don't have to yet.
They're probably going to... They've said probably end of February time they're going to come out with a decision on that, which kind of makes sense, really. So we will see. For me, I think if we can't travel for Eurovision, or at least there's some feeling of them saying, come for Eurovision, even if you can't be in the audience, I probably am going to leave it, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that depressing note, watch this space.
But even if we aren't able to go, there's still going to be a Eurovision of some kind.
Hooray!
And that's why the... Hooray, hooray, something to look forward to. That's why the national selection shows are continuing. And last week we mentioned Norway and Lithuania. Well, we've got part two this weekend continuing on because they have semi-finals. And I'd just like to, first of all, give a mention to Norway's winner of semi-final number one, which I don't know if you've listened to this, Martin, but they are basically a return. I mean, they're not, because they're not from Moldova, but they're basically a return of Epic Sax Guy.
Yes.
From the Sunstroke Project, where if you've probably seen the memes, the guy with his sax.
Yeah, he goes crazy with the saxophone.
We all
love Epic Sax Guy. And you're right, this is not necessarily what's going to represent Norway. We should say that, because if you were listening to the last podcast, you'll know it's an unbelievably complicated system of rounds and who gets through and blah, 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 blah. But this is one possibility, and it does have a bit of a pretty epic sax situation going on.
It does, yes, and that is, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this properly, but Blaza Mafian and Hazel, and they are the group who won the first semi-final of Melody Grand Prix 2021, which is Norway's national selection programme. So they're through to the final. But of course, Kino, who have represented Norway before, are automatically through already. There's a couple that are through automatically to the finals, and then there's others that have to fight for their place in the finals. So that will be going on again this weekend in part two. But there's also Lithuania as well. They've got a big old national selection process too. And the Roop are fighting for their place, who obviously were chosen to represent Lithuania in Eurovision 2020. They are still having to take part in a national final. Now, they're through automatically to the final. So that's something which I think is fair. It gives people a chance to show their songs, but the Roop are through to the final. So, you know, they are at least, they've got a bit of guarantee.
Yeah, and people were talking a lot about the Roop last year, and
yes,
I don't think they were necessarily tipped to win, but they were certainly tipped to do not too badly. So it is all eyes on the Roop to see what they are going to be putting forward if they are able to represent Lithuania. And they've gone with this. It's a song called Discotheque.
Now, I know you were saying, Martin, you think loads of sea shanties are going to pop up in the Eurovision, but I
know it. I just know it.
We are
the wolves of the sea.
You done?
I'm done, yeah.
Okay. I actually think this is going to be a bit like the time when the Berlin Wall fell down.
I remember that.
It. Well, the year after, there was a lot of songs about, you know, love around the world, and there are no walls, and all this kind of like quite obvious metaphor. So now, and I think Discotheque, you know, puts some credence to this, that there's going to be loads of songs about, like, we're on our own, but we're together. So obviously Discotheque talks a lot about dancing on your own and how it's okay to dance on your own. I think there's going to be a lot of references to, like, being on your own and how it's all right, and, you know, because we're all not able to socialise. And I think, you know, that's definitely one that shows that could be the case.
So
I can imagine.
What you're saying is, what we need is a song about being on your own.
Yeah.
In the style of a sea shanty.
No. Enough with the sea shanties, please.
I sat on my own and did nothing and didn't go out of the house. Everything was terrible and I cried every night. That's what we need.
That's what we need. Yeah, that's what we need. but going back to Discotheque, because the Roop were one of the favourites anyway, to win Eurovision 2020. Probably them and Dardy were the top favourites, really. So thoughts on Discotheque? It's a lot darker, isn't it, than On Fire? I've seen the video. They keep with their hand gestures and all kind of weird dances, so they stick with that. What are your thoughts, Martin?
I agree with you. It doesn't have the kind of positivity that the On Fire song had, but it's still quite catchy. And I think they are quite unique as a band.
Yeah.
And I think that comes across quite well. So, yeah, it could do all right. I don't think it stands out quite as much, though, I have to say.
No, because I whilst I can remember the lyrics, I actually can't remember the song now. And that might be that I have quite a bad short-term memory and need to see a doctor. But I think it is more the fact... I think it's more the fact that the song isn't very memorable. That's what I'm hoping, anyway.
I hope that for your sake. Right, the time has come again for us to dispense some knowledge about the Eurovision Song Contest, because we are on this podcast trying to learn a little bit more, because we know that there are lots of people who, they've got all the facts, haven't they? They know everything there is to know.
Those greedy people have just got all the facts.
They
do. And they don't give them out.
They've got all the facts. We're a bit clueless and we're trying to educate ourselves on Eurovision history because some of it's quite funny. So we do that in a little feature on the podcast called Trivia Time!
Lovely. Well done.
Thank you very much. And I'm going back to 1977 for this one. Now, we always know that the Eurovision Song Contest is held in May. It comes around in May every single year, but that hasn't always been the case. In fact, in 1977, it was meant to be held in April. That was the plan. However, there was a problem. It was due to take place in the United Kingdom, so we were going to be hosting it. Except a load of cameramen that worked at the BBC went on strike.
Oh!
And it meant that it was getting closer and closer to the date that the Eurovision was meant to happen. And there was nobody to film it.
Oh, no.
It could have happened, but nobody would have seen it because the cameramen were on strike and they wouldn't work. So the Netherlands said, oh, we'll step in for you. We'll host it instead. And that was agreed. Right, okay, yeah, do it on the 2nd of April, fine. And then the unions over in the Netherlands got wind of that and went, oh, no, we're not doing that. We're standing in solidarity with the BBC cameramen in the UK who are on strike. No way are we hosting it. So everybody went, oh, no. They shelved the competition completely.
What?
Only for them to then resolve the industrial dispute and put the contest on the 7th of May that year.
Wow. Gosh. There you go.
So it just goes to show it isn't necessarily only a pandemic that could mean the Eurovision Song Contest doesn't happen. It could be industrial action as well. And there you go for another episode of Trivia Time!
Lovely stuff. Thank you so much for that trivia time, Martin. Now, at the beginning of the episode, I gave you a quiz question, and this came from the OGAE UK members quiz. This question, they do one every week, I think, now. And the question was, it was a bit in relation to this book I've got, Nul Poir. Looking forward to reading it by Tim Moore. Hopefully have a chat with him at some point, maybe, if we can get hold of him, about his travels to chat with loads of people who scored Nul Poir in the competition. But the question was this: four countries have received the dreaded Nul Poir on three occasions. Austria, Finland, Switzerland, and who? And Martin, have you had a little think?
Well, I have had a think, and I have come up with an answer, much with my contributions to any sort of Eurovision trivia knowledge. It will be wrong, but I'm going to give it a go.
You don't know that.
Originally, I thought it could be the UK, but I thought, now I'm pretty sure we've only had Nul Poir once. So I've ruled the UK out. Instead, I am going to go for Germany, just because I'm pretty sure they've had Nul Poir at least once, and I think that maybe sort of in the 70s and 80s they might have not been doing too well for themselves, and I'm going to hazard a guess that maybe they've had Nul Poir more than once, so I'm going to say Germany.
Well, you're weirdly sort of in the right ballpark, but you are wrong.
Right, I told you.
<I'll> just... But you're sort of the right ballpark, because the answer is Spain. So I was saying, you know, like in terms of like the Big Five, you know, you're kind of in the. Right,
I see
ballpark
what you say. Yeah, you know. it was one of the members of the Big Five.
Yeah, yeah, but you are wrong. It was Spain.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. My inadequacies laid bare for you. Right. Well, on that note, I think that pretty much sums up this podcast. Really, we've tried.
Inadequacies
we failed,
laid bare.
We've had a nice time. Move on. Yeah. Thank you very much for listening to Nul Poir. It's been good fun being with you, and we will join you again with more Eurovision nonsense. Maybe even another sea shanty, if I can be bothered. trying to get in on the act now, aren't you? Yeah, you heard me doing it. You poo-pooed it. And now you want in. Now you wanna join in.
Me hearties.
All right. Give us the information, please, that we need in order to get in contact.
Yes. We're on Twitter. We're on Twitter, @Poir Null. Bloody hell. We're at Twitter, at Poinul. We're on Instagram, Nullpoir Podcast, and you can drop us a little email, nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. And thanks to everyone who has done that so far, and thanks for getting in touch with us in all these various ways. Of course, if you like the show, please do give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We are on iTunes, we're on SoundCloud, Spotify, all those good places. Do subscribe to us, because we're trying to do this every week now, aren't we? And
we're trying to.
Having some success.
Yeah, well, we're
trying.
We've certainly put out an episode every week. You can't say fairer than that.
So yeah, we're trying to make it a bit more regular every Saturday. We'll see how we fare with that. Seafair.
Oh,
pirates.
No, we need sea to shanties. End this now.
Right, well, in that case, let's set sail, Martin, for another adventure. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening to Nullpoir.
Goodbye.
Arr. No.
This book's so rubbish. What's the problem? It's crap. Aww. Just got... I mean, like, who wants to sit and read facts about what happened in 1977?
Wasn't that what we're doing, though?
Ah.
For the podcast.